This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to Green and White, the weekly Argyle Life podcast. I'm your host tonight, Josh, and with us today we have Nick.
Hello.
Sam.
Hello.
And Adam.
Hello.
So you join us with Plymouth Argyle, still top of League 2 after a hard-fought 1-0 win over Colchester United. Go for some thoughts on the game, shall we? Sam, what did you make of it?
I think it was obviously great to be top after two wins in two games. Not the best performance, not quite as good as I think Crewe was overall, but it was a good enough performance. We did enough to get the win on the day. We had the goal and we had a fair few other chances, so I think it was just about enough to get the win on the day. A lot of good performances in certain players. No really, really outstanding ones, perhaps like the ones at Crewe, but Palmer had a very good game in goal, did all he had to do well, tested well. Distribution was absolutely superb. Wootton had a fantastic game from the back. And the strikers, you know, ran all game. They gave the defence a bit of work to do. The midfield was maybe the weakest area, but it was the midfield that popped up with a winning goal. So credit for that. And let's just keep on doing what we're doing. There is room for improvement. Mayer and Sarcevic could be controlling games a bit more than they are, but hey, room for improvement, let's go.
I think that what struck me particularly was we didn't look especially good, and at the same time, we still looked quite comfortable. Like, I don't think we were... Colchester didn't really pose lots of problems. They were sort of quite tidy, and they tried to play sort of decent football, but they didn't really threaten us. Palmer, there weren't any saves really that Palmer made that you thought, oh, wow, he's kept us in the game there.
The only real chance they had was the one that they missed right in front of goal, stretching, couldn't quite reach it, wasn't it?
Is that the one that Wootton cleared?
No. So there's one that Wootton did really well to clear under, is just stuck a little left out, wasn't it, and flick it away from the header.
It was a brilliant clearance.
No, it was a
Lapsley's
one, wasn't it?
Lapsley.
The only reason I hadn't said the name was because I couldn't remember how to pronounce it. I was going to say Lapsley.
Sam had gone to get his 15th bottle of Coke of the day, I think.
I'd literally just stuck my head out at the time when it happened. But yeah.
That's the only one really they created. You're right; it was very comfortable.
That's a good sign. I mean, the fact that we're not putting in those perfect performances yet, and yet we're still winning games, we're still top of the league. I mean, it's got to bode well. And when it clicks, I mean, we're going to be very dangerous to any team at this level. You would have thought.
I said in the Ryan Lowe podcast that we'd go up with what maximum points, and so far I'm being proven completely right.
Zero goals conceded as well.
Zero, exactly. That was what we got told to expect. Conceding lots of goals, that hasn't happened.
Sam and I were discussing a bit earlier. We had a reasonably lengthy debate on Facebook about
shock.
Yeah. Sorry. About a number of things. One of the ideas that came out of that was a suggestion that maybe Lowe has changed his approach a bit. He's evolved a bit. The comparison Sam made, and one I'd seen actually someone else had referenced before Lowe even joined, about his Bury side, was Liverpool 2017-18 versus Liverpool 2018-19 in that first year was really attacking, super attacking, but they conceded lots of goals. Second season, they played a bit more conservative, scored fewer, but conceded much fewer, and therefore picked up more points. And looking at Joe Riley and Ante Sarcevic, both lesser attacking threats than Nicky Adams and Jay O'Shea were for that Bury side. And then we've got two hard-working wingers rather than two out-and-out strikers up front. Could it be that he is attempting to evolve his strategy? Still play a relatively attacking front foot game, but one that's more controlled and offers fewer chances to the opposition. And so we score fewer, but we concede much fewer, and that yields far more points.
Mm. Yeah, I think it wouldn't surprise me, certainly. I mean, last season was his first full year in management, and he'll have learned a lot from that. As well as that is... Part of it is he is dealing with the personnel who are already here as well. So maybe I think you are. My instinct says that you're probably right, and that we said he prefers, or that the system that he played last season does work better with wingers at fullback. Obviously, Joe Riley isn't a winger playing as a full. Wingers at wingback. Joe Riley is a fullback as a wingback, but sort of can go forward relatively well. I don't know whether that is by choice or because Joe Riley is there and, you know, we don't have an unlimited budget to go and sign whoever we want, and whether that plays a part or not.
Yeah, the Bury had, he inherited a really top heavy squad at Bury, didn't he? That's the thing. You want, obviously, the question that was kind of going around when he started was, is it the way he wants to play or is it just the way he felt it best to play with such a, you know, talented, top-heavy squad? And I think the answer is maybe a bit of both. I think in his essence, no matter who he manages, the way he talks about it, the way he raves about his philosophy, he will always want to play a fairly attacking and passing-based style, no matter who and where he manages. But the fact that it was so attacking and so full of players who are traditional wingers or strikers, that was maybe to do with the unbalanced nature of the squad he inherited, whereas inheriting a bit more of a clean slate like he did at Argyle, he's maybe going to be more inclined to play still quite an attacking style, but not so attacking, maybe.
Yeah, because, for example, if he had Jay O'Shea and Nicky Adams here, I guess the question is,
he'd still be playing them, wouldn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, you would think, probably. Part of it might just be in the way that he has set up. So it might not necessarily be a personnel thing, but he might just naturally be a touch more cautious. Obviously, there wasn't any caution there at all last season, really.
Another comment I saw someone make in response to Adam's article about Sarcevic today was that Sarcevic is just keeping the seat warm for Jose Baxter, who is very much a Jay O'Shea. Well, if he gets back to what he used to be, he's even better than Jay O'Shea, but he's a similar in player profile and skills profile to Jay O'Shea, so we may yet see that. Another thought we had was that Lowe was just being a bit more cautious to start of the season. Of course, last season, won one of his first five, conceded lots of goals, had a slow start. This season, maybe he thought, especially with the injuries to Telford in particular, to Ameson, to, you know, Baxter not being fully fit, perhaps he opted for a more conservative approach, knowing that he can evolve it. And obviously, you know, how he starts the season doesn't have to be how he ends it. And that he could evolve the team over a matter of weeks and, you know, build up that attacking potential.
I think that all kind of links back to what we're saying, in the sense that this is not the finished article for Plymouth Argyle this season yet. That performance we saw on Saturday, it wasn't bad by any means, but it wasn't the best sort of performance we can expect. I think Sam mentioned it wasn't quite to the level of Crewe. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. The fact that there's room for improvement there, you'd expect Lowe to have noticed that, and you'd expect that he'll be building his style as these games go down, and perfecting it and getting us into situations where we can blow teams away when we get the opportunity. And yet, with all that said, we're still winning games. We're still top of the league after a couple of games. We're still yet to concede a goal. So with all of that in mind, with all of the things that we've considered so far, it's hard not to feel positive about where we are at the moment. And whether that can translate across the season, I mean, I'm confident that it can. Of course, we'll wait and see, and we'll have the thrills and spills as the season goes on. But, you know, it's a good time to support Plymouth Argyle at the moment. And I didn't expect to be saying that a few months ago when we were staring relegation in the face.
Yeah, it's certainly there's certainly a feel-good factor around the club still, which is obviously helped by winning the opening two games. I don't think either of the two teams that we've played were bad sides as such. I didn't see Crewe, so I can't comment, but I know lots of people have sort of put them to do quite well. And Colchester played some half-decent football. So they're both good results. And individuals playing well. Edwards looks like a brilliant signing. That role that he plays, he does very, very well. But also existing players. In pre-season, I'm not sure many of us were convinced by Wooten, Canavan and Sawyer as a back three. And two games later, they've not conceded and really have been fine as a collective. And you'd expect them to get better as well as they go on, not worse, which is another positive sign, really.
Yeah, one of the other things me and Nick did have that conversation with that we disagreed a little bit on is how kind of sustainable the level of performance is if we play this way. Nick was more of the view of, yes, where, you know, we've won the two games, which is good, but results are very much better than the performance, and the performances haven't been that good.
Don't oversell my position. It's still a positive one. I just want to make sure, yeah, go on.
Okay, well, yeah, well my point was more in the way of, you know, you're probably right to an extent that if you look at the old, you know, expected goals, I think probably 1-0 and 3-0 wouldn't have been reflections of the, you know, a 4-0 aggregate score wouldn't have been reflected by the expected goals. I agree with that. However, if we can keep having, keepers and defenders who make last-ditch clearances, and if we can keep having attacking players who can finish better than the opposition, it doesn't really matter if we're out creating loads if we keep outscoring the chances we do have. If you look at all those chances, that one at the start of the second half for Colchester was probably the only one, I think maybe Crewe had one as well, at the start of the second half in that
Crewe
game.
Crewe had a couple, whereby, they had the double chance and the deflected shot.
Yeah, sorry, what I was going to say was it was one of the only ones where it was a bad miss rather than a good save or a good stop. Crewe had quite a few that were good saves by our keeper. And obviously that Colchester one, we had the great block by Watton. But the only one where it was literally a bad finish rather than one of our players doing the work was that one at the start of the second half at Colchester. And I think Crewe might have had one as well. It was just a bad finish.
Did Paul Watton make a triumphant return from the far goal?
Did I say Watton?
I thought we were going to let it go. I'm sorry, did I say Watton?
I meant Watton. I do apologise.
I'd also put Charlie Kirk's finish, that rebound effort that Palmer saved, in the sort of dodgy finish category. I think if that was an Argyle player, the discussion would be how didn't he score rather than how did Palmer save it? Because while it was a good save, it's still quite tame and quite low. From there, you need to hit it with a bit more pace and into the air, so it still wasn't a good finish. The point I made to Sam was that for me, and anyone who read the site last season would know that we spent a long time writing about this, was that you've got to judge a team by performances rather than results, and the reason behind that is that results generally mirror performances. Sometimes they exceed them, sometimes they don't match them, but generally the better you perform, the more points you pick up, the better your results. And by performance we're talking about a game in which you create more and better chances than your opposition. So if you're, say, winning a handful of games when you haven't really outcreated them, or worse, if they've thoroughly outcreated you, then that generally is unsustainable. It's like your run of good goal-scoring form that happens for any team, really. So the best example would be January last season for Argyle, in which 4 wins in 5, but in that time, Lemire scored a bunch of half chances that he was never going to continue to score, and opposition teams just stopped scoring some quite simple chances. And within a month or two, after Peterborough, basically, that stopped playing out, and as a result, we scored far fewer, and by the end of the season we're conceding that many more because teams just weren't missing their easy chances anymore. And the point being that, as Sam said, performances haven't as of yet matched the results we've achieved. You'd probably say that 2-1 against Crewe would be fair, though let's face it, 2-2 really wasn't out of the question as an end result, and a draw would probably have been the fairest against Colchester. Neither side really created much. I don't think anyone can come out of that saying that Argyle, really created. We got the winner, yes, but play that over a season, you're not going to win it every time. So the point I made was that I think performances need to step up or results will tail off, and those draws could prove to be a problem to, if we're looking for promotion or the league title or whatever come the end of the season.
It is only two games, though, and that is worth remembering, really. And it's we're talking about a tactical system that is far more complex and developed than lots of teams at this level, if not probably every team in the league, being asked to play a system like this. It's not familiar to the players, bar half the Bury side that we signed. It's certainly the existing players and the new ones we brought in is not familiar to. And you don't see these sorts of, I know, what, how long's Lowe been here for now? Couple months? You don't implement a full tactical system in 2 months with lots of new players coming in, existing players who've played in a system which was what pragmatic football certainly wasn't encouraged to dominate the ball in the way that we tried to against Colchester. So I think it will take time, and it's not like I don't worry about it in the same way as if this was happening like it was last season with Lemiras, in that it came sort of in the middle of the season, but because it's happened at the start and the performances aren't there, but the results have been there, well, the two wins so far, I'm actually not worried about that yet. I think in a couple months' time, if the performances still aren't looking especially good, then maybe there's more cause for concern. But at the moment, with good players still to come into the side as well, Ameson's not played yet, Telford's barely featured, we've used Taylor intermittently, Baxter's got to get to fitness. So there's plenty of players still yet to come into this side who have the capability to improve it as well.
Yeah, I just want to confirm as well, I'm not even being that negative, really. This is more just, you know, a discussion between myself and Sam. I'm still quite happy with the performance levels. I'm just thinking about how we take it to the next step. And in particular, my focus was more on chance creation. Because when you look at the goals we've scored, two from outside the box, a virtual overhead kick from McFadden, and then a very tidy finish from a tight angle, none have been... Have we really created a big chance? And by big chance, I'm sort of talking about one where... Well, the definition of a big chance is generally taken to be one that you expect to score more than 50% of the time, so that's generally a close range shot, a one-on-one. Have we really created one yet? But again, it's early days.
We must have, because Byron Moore had a couple in the last, well, against Colchester, didn't he? He had a one-on-one that was saved, and then one that he sort of tried to get across to Grant that he didn't. That was defended.
Well, I wouldn't say either of those were, neither were one-on-ones, there were defenders back for both. I wouldn't say either. I'd be looking at saying you score that once every two times. That's a 1 in 4, 1 in 5 sort of conversion.
I don't know.
Out of the three he had, he should have scored at least one of them, right?
On balance of probability, I don't even think should have, because I don't think any of them are, you know, goals you score once every three times. Again, these are like 1 every 4, 5, 6 sort of thing. So when you add them up,
the first one he should have done better with.
Could have done better, but what?
Especially.
Well, let's not get stuck too bogged down in this, but I mean, looking at the chance itself, think about how many times you see a chance like that played out through a season and how many times it gets scored. There's a reason why you get hundreds of shots, you know, why players end up finishing the season having scored, what, 10 to 15% of their shots, is that while they look better than they are, the reality of it is that when you put a keeper back, a defender back, and you're sort of on the move and you haven't had time to, you know, the ball's moving, it's not stationary. All those things add up to make that chance harder to score. But yeah, it's not really something to properly dwell on. We are, like, say, only two games in. Just the question is that I've been asking myself is more about, you know, how we can be more creative, really.
Do you think Sarcevic is an issue with that, then? With creativity? We know that passing is not one of his stronger suits. Really. So
well,
is chance creation an issue?
Yeah,
go on, Adam.
I mean, it's a complex one at the moment, because in the last couple of games, we've seen more or less what we'd expect. We've seen his strengths on show. We've seen how he's able to run onto the ball, as he did with his finish at the weekend. We've seen how he's able to press from the front. And, you know, that really helps in a counter-pressing sort of system where if you lose the ball, you'd like to win the ball back quickly. He's the sort of player that's very good at that. The problem I see at the moment is the fact that he's being played in that attacking midfield role, where, as we've said, last season at Bury, you'd have Jay O'Shea and Danny Mayer there. We've got Baxter and Connor Grant that can play there. It's the sort of position where you want a creator. And as we know from watching Sarcevic for the last 2.5 years, that's not what he is. Does that mean he shouldn't play? Not necessarily. I mean, he's got a chance to make the position his own. He may well, I wouldn't expect he'd line up in the cup game, actually, but he's more than likely to have games coming up to improve on what we've seen so far. But I'd suggest, really, and I know Nick feels pretty strongly about it, that there's more positions in this team for him to feature. I think the wing-backs are an encouraging position that, you know, he can make his own. And I think the problem he faces, and I touched it in the article, is the fact that he is a central midfielder by trade, but none of our central midfield positions in this very specific system, as we've mentioned, is perhaps one of the most tactically astute, one of the trickier systems to pick up in the entire division. None of those central midfield positions suit him to the way he would like. And to fix that, you either get him in the wing-back positions or expect him to improve considerably on his creativity. Go on.
Sorry, no, I was just going to say, I think that the one that probably sticks in my mind most in relation to this sort of thing is last season when we persisted with Ladapo for an entire season over Taylor. Ladapo in himself had a good season. He got a move away to Rotherham. He scored 18 goals. And we know
19.
Himself, was it 19? Was it 18 league goals?
Yeah,
there we go. Him sort of selfishly, not because I think he's a, well, I do think he's a selfish footballer in the way that he plays. But regardless, because of how he played individually, actually he could say, come away and say he had a better season or a good season or a better season than most of the players in that team. Actually, as a collective in the system that we wanted and the other players that we had around him, actually it was of severe detriment to the rest of the team. And I think I like Sarsvich. I think he had a good game yesterday, but I do wonder if that might end up being the issue. And it's not a case that he is not a good player, because we know that Ladapo is a good player. That's why he's playing for a team who are going to be at the top end of League One next season. He's a good player, but actually, would the system benefit more from a player who suits that role? So Conor Grant, who we've seen play well in that role in pre-season, might be less good individually than Sarsvić, but in that role and in the system that we want to play, actually improves the team more as a whole.
Two points on Sarsvić. One is, as Adam says, the thing I'm very passionate about is Sarsvić at right wing back. I think Sarsvić is a perfect fit for right wing back. When you look at his traits, his skills, he suits that role so well. He works well benefiting from other people's creativity, a bit like he benefited from Karen Lemieux's creativity. You know, they would make the break. He'd be the person moving on to the break. And that's what that wing back can do. They can benefit from that skill in midfield, you know, making good incisive runs, you know, coming in on the back post when the ball's being built up on the left. Those are things he can do really well. And in particular, if you look at his time at Fleetwood, he did that. That's what he did. All but one of his assists came from him starting out wide, bursting into the box and cutting it back. He can do that. I even remember when we beat Bradford 1-0 and he came off the bench. I think Sam probably will, this will stick out in his head maybe. But Sarsvić came on as right winger basically and did that exact role very well. Sarsvić can do that, is one. So wing back for Sarsvić, said it a lot. I still think is his best spot in this team, assuming that Lowe's trying to recreate his Bury team of last season. But number two is that, as we've seen, we've played two of the more progressive sides in this division. And, you know, he's been part of a midfield that's largely been able to stunt them and hold them off and, you know, tame them, basically.
Yeah.
And as I said last week, the skill of midfielders in this division isn't fantastic. They can either pass or they can run. They generally can't do both. There are some who can, but not all of them can, which means that Sarsvić can either outrun them or he can, you know, press them and make them go backwards. And so, from a defensive standpoint, we can probably get away with it. And while we can think about how we could improve the team, and I don't think, if I'm honest, at this point in time, we will be promoted automatically if we have Sarsvić in centre mid. That's my honest feeling. I think that over the course of a season, we'll drop points because of the lack of midfield control and fewer chances as a result. But I can see how it could work. And again, it's two games in, I could be wrong. And then that also doesn't account for improvement. He might improve. His passing might pick up.
I think on this one, you've kind of contradicted yourself a little bit, because I see you're saying about maybe not going up automatically with Sarsvić, but you said yourself about midfielders in this division, effectively, most of them aren't, aren't up to much. They're not very good. It's not a league high in quality. And actually, while I think we could get found out with him in that role at a higher level, actually, in League Two, I don't think he really needs to be outstanding in that role for us to still win and dominate football matches.
Yeah, I suppose. Again, I'm less certain that he's going to be, that him in centre midfield will be a problem as I was in pre-season. I mean, that Torquay game was shockingly bad. But then again, that's pre-season. Anyhow, I don't know. I just, while I think we can get away with it, I wonder how much we can get away with it, is what I'm saying. So maybe we finish close fourth or close fifth sort of thing, but don't quite make it as a result.
Yeah, that's fair enough. There will be some good teams, obviously. I don't know, because he is individually a good player, I think we can probably just about get away with it.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree. I think before the Crewe game, and I was in the pub and I saw Starcevic had been picked in there over Grant or Baxter, I did kind of think, oh no, a little bit, because I had spotted the same things Nick had during pre-season. But you know what? He has a lot of other strengths. His defensive work is fantastic, his stamina is fantastic. And what you also have to consider is that, yes, you know, we'll keep the ball better maybe with other players, not denying that, but there will always be, no matter how good a, you know, possession-based midfield we have, occasions where we don't have the ball. And on occasions where we don't have the ball, one of the things that Lowe installs, and, you know, he said he's trying to replicate Klopp-style, Guardiola-style, one of the things he installs whenever we don't have the ball is that high pressing and that high energy pressing and the high line up the pitch as well. So, yes, we would probably keep the ball slightly better with some other players, but on the occasions where we don't have the ball, whether that's, you know, 30% of the game or 35 or 40% of the game, no matter how many times that is, on those occasions we do need the players to show incredible stamina and pressing. And will anyone else do that quite as well as Starcevic? Maybe not. So I think there's very much strengths and weaknesses to both. Whereas before the two games ago, I was very much, Conor Grant is the first choice midfielder, Starcevic, I'd like to move to wing back. Now my stance is more, yeah, I could very much see him as a wing-back if he ever had to be. I certainly would have him there over more, over Tafari more, that is, if Riley were to be injured, without a doubt. But I can also now very much see him as a centre midfielder to a much greater extent than I could. And who knows, if he improves his finishing a bit, then I'd definitely keep him in the team.
It's a nice problem to have, I'd say. Mm. I mean, as you've said, Sam, it was a case a couple of weeks ago where it seemed like there was one obvious candidate, and suddenly we're looking at a case where there's a few players there who you think could do a job. Personally, I still lie in favour of Conor Grant as that player, but I guess you could find yourself in a situation where Sarcevic does start against a team who we find perhaps are looking to stay behind the ball, park the bus, and we've got the creative talents of Grant, of Baxter, to bring on and try and break that down. So it's nice, I think, to be in a situation where we've got options. It's much better to have the headache of which of these decent options shall we choose than have the headache of, okay, we've got a few poor options, can we try and negate their weaknesses a little bit, yeah, like we saw last season?
You say that, but Freddy Ladapo was a nice option to have, and in the end he was a factor in us being relegated.
That's true.
Sometimes it's nice to have one obvious option that the manager can't look past and has to play.
I think the interesting, like, about what Adam said though is the tactical point, and we know from last season that Maynard up front played pretty much every game, and then the other strikers, yeah, alongside him were rotated. Whether you might see an aspect of that, because actually teams will try and play against us in different ways. Some will try and match us, some will try and dominate the ball, some will try and sit back, hit us on the counter-attack. If we get really good, some teams might try and really go all-out defensive. You know, in games where we're not going to have the ball as much, and we know we're not, actually Sarcevic is more useful. If we're coming up against teams who are likely to defend deeper, not likely to sort of counter-press as much, but likely to sit, actually look at it and think, well, someone like Conor Grant's going to be much more useful, because we're assuming, really, that Danny Mayer, every time he's available, is going to start. And at the moment, that position is one of the ones in the team that is set and isn't really going to change. So from that tactical point, I think is an interesting one, is actually whether he might rotate the attacking midfielders like he did the strikers, because I know it was O'Shea and Mayer pretty much solidly throughout last season.
Yeah.
Whether that might change, because now we do have a couple of different options and styles in that and for that role.
Tell you what, on that topic, unless someone else has got something to add, I was going to say, looking ahead to Leyton Orient tomorrow, what changes would you make? You know, who would you be testing out and where?
Well,
Cooper, Baxter, Connor Grant, keep the red, and Telford if Joel's injured.
I'd start Taylor as well.
Josh Grant. No, I wouldn't start Taylor.
I'll be starting Telford. This cup game, I'll be looking to get Telford some minutes. It's a good opportunity to rotate a bit and give some others a chance to stake a claim rather than keeping what you've got. If it doesn't work, bring him back in for Newport.
I think I would play. Yeah, I would bring. Definitely bring in Cooper, Connor Grant. I would play Baxter. Both. I would play Taylor and Telford up front. Baxter, I think, could use the minutes. I think Josh Grant possibly as well, to see what he's about. I'm not sure who passed there. I wouldn't be surprised, considering he's taken Edwards off in the last two games, if he decides to play Baxter further forward, if Randall might get a start. I don't know.
I wouldn't change the full squad. Sorry, I've just jumped on you there. You carry
on. Yeah, no, it's fine. Go for it. No, it's fine.
I mean, I was going to bring it up. Like, I wouldn't mind seeing Randall start. I think what I'd like to see is Baxter get some minutes in that attacking midfield position, try to showcase the skills that we know he has, and bring Randall in that deeper role. In a sense, it's mainly in the sense that I really don't want Joe Edwards to be picking up any knocks before the league games, and you know, he's someone that we kind of need to protect at all costs at this moment in time. And if we can get players like Baxter, like Randall on the pitch, getting them the minutes they need, whilst at the same time protecting Joe Edwards, that can only be a good thing.
Yeah, I think Randall's, for me, has shown enough in what I've seen of him in pre-season to suggest that he could cope with it fine as well. It's not the case of chucking in a youngster to give someone else a rest. This is someone who, he made the bench on Saturday, didn't he, Randall? This is someone who, with a couple of injuries, could very feasibly be in our first team regularly. So actually useful to get him some professional minutes, I think, would be my take on it for him personally.
He certainly deserves the chance anyway.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm going to go against Grid, but I wouldn't start Randall for the reason only being, I think if we're easing Baxter in, in least disrespectful way, he doesn't look hugely fit at the moment, does he? And then, you know, possibly in his stature, he doesn't look
Baxter
the most physically fit. Yeah.
What are you talking about? I thought Baxter looked perfectly fit. He buzzed around a bit. He looked lively. He doesn't look very fat. He looks pretty slim.
I agree. I don't think he looks fat at all.
Well, what I was leading to say with that is that I feel that if he isn't fit, maybe we can come back to that in a second, if he isn't that fit, you'd want him playing in the DM role rather than the AM role, where he doesn't have to kind of maybe do quite so much high pressing. He did well in the time he was on, but he just looked lacking a little bit of sharpness in my eyes, a little bit of, not even just pure physical fitness, but a little bit of, shall we say, panic, not even panicness, but lack of match sharpness in decision making. He didn't look as though he was right in zone.
You're talking of those two moments, aren't you? Where
he dallied
and lost the ball and they got the shot away, and where he played the pass to Riley and went out of play.
Him not being match fit isn't a surprise, though, and that is different from him being like unfit as opposed to not match fit. There is a difference, and I think it's important to distinguish. He's had a few weeks now. He trained as well with Mansfield for pre-season. It's some though, isn't it? Professional footballers these days don't go and spend the whole holiday doing nothing. A lot of them will spend a lot of time.
We're not thinking Ruben Reid 2012, 2013.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the match fitness he'd benefit from, and I'd prefer to look at him in that attacking midfield role, is that is where we want to use him longer term. And obviously this is something we don't know. Maybe Baxter does want to use him in a DM role longer term. I don't know. But if he wants to look at him in an attacking midfield role, I think he's got to play attacking midfield on Tuesday.
I mean, the next opportunity after that is going to be waiting until, is it Swindon first or is it Bristol Rovers? It might be Swindon first in September in about 4 weeks' time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's a long time to wait otherwise. I think now's a good opportunity to test him if he wants. And I hope he intends to play him in that centre mid position, because otherwise it'd be like playing Ruben Lamiris in defensive mid. Sure, he can do the role, but you can get more out of him in a better position.
Yeah.
Particularly as we know that Edwards can do that role probably better than anyone inside. You may as well try Baxter in that advanced position where he's more likely to shine than have him simply as an Edwards backup.
I agree with what I think Sam said, was that Lowe was bringing him on in defensive mid, both to rest Edwards, but also get minutes into Baxter's legs without really, without changing the structure of the team too much. I get the feeling of something like that. He also did put, I think it was Callum Stiles, I think that was his name, who was an attacking mid. But he was a bit like Connor Grant, really, in the way he plays, and was more obviously a centre mid and played there most of the time, but started him and subbed him on in defensive mid a few times last season. So it could be that it was a genuine tactical decision.
I just wouldn't want to change too much. I do like Randall a lot. I wouldn't want to change too much based on how we've been paired. I'd change certainly the keeper, because I think Cooper and Palmer, Lowe said, you know, he'd already said he's going to do that. Because they're going to be battling with each other all season for that spot. Palmer's very much in the lead now, but you've got to give Cooper a chance. I would put Josh Grant in because, you know, you don't sign a player from Chelsea to never play him. Obviously, he's not going to come straight in. You know, that would be disrespectful to the current back three, but you've got to give him that chance to stake his claim. And I think you've probably got to play Connor Grant just because, you know, he's that very much the next one to step in at the moment. He's the one who there's a bit of debate about. So I think you have got to put those three in. Front two, we're going pretty good, but if Joel Grant's injured, then it's definitely a good chance to get Telford some minutes. So I'd definitely make those four changes. And if Baxter's ready for a 90, I suppose I'd probably put Baxter in for Edwards. As much as I do like Randall, and maybe I'd even like to see Lolos get a game, I wouldn't make any further changes than that. I certainly wouldn't put Taylor in. As excellent as Taylor has been off the bench both times in seeing out the win, and he has been very good, he is not going to run and press and be a nuisance to defenders to the level that Joel Grant and Moore have been in the games we've seen so far. So I think Taylor is a super sub. Keep him as a super sub. Bring in Telford, bring in Connor Grant, Josh Grant and Cooper, in my sense.
The problem with not rotating too much is...
And maybe Baxter.
Is if you take Saturday as a starting point, then we're looking at Saturday Colchester, Tuesday Orient, Saturday Newport, Tuesday Salford, Saturday Walsall, then a week off, Saturday Northampton, Tuesday Bristol Rovers, Saturday Oldham, before the next week break. There's a lot of Saturday Tuesdays. There's only 1 week off in a row. So if you're not, I mean, I know it's early in the season, we don't need to rest now, but it could be that we then have more enforced changes or switches later on, because there's a fair few Saturday Tuesdays in a row.
Yeah, true. This is true. Yeah, you know, it's a fair point you make, but where I'm kind of a little bit...
Having said that, the first one in September is the EFL Trophy, so we expect a fair few changes for that anyway. I suppose it is only actually one league game in there, but then again, if you're doing a Sam Says and not changing much for the Cup, then that's where you're going to feel the impact in the league, potentially.
There's not that many positions, but we've got a load of rotation options, though. I mean... Where you wouldn't significantly weaken the team. I mean, obviously, we've lost Smith-Brown at left wing-back, who would have been the obvious choice there. Right wing-back, unless you are going to move Sarcevic there, you've got Tafari Moore, and, well, just would rather not have to play him unless we had to.
Sorry, after the rehabilitation of Scott Wooten, are you not going to give Moore a chance? Is that not a bit harsh?
Okay, that's a fair point well made.
Come on, give him one more chance.
Very fair point well made. And I suppose maybe up front it would be nice to see Lolos at some point, but I'd rather save that for the Checker trade game, I think, rather than tomorrow.
Can I amend my comment? Temporary rehabilitation of Scott Wooten, unless they're not going nuts. It has been two games.
All
it takes is one error, but... and then everyone will be straight back on his back in.
Yeah, exactly. But fair play to him, because he, even against Bristol Rovers in the friendly, he was shaky and struggled on the ball, and actually hasn't shown any sign of that, I don't think. So fair play to him. Long may it continue.
He is probably the best in possession of all the defenders, I think, on Saturday. Lots of good long balls. Much better than Canavan, who was a bit sloppy with his long passing.
Yeah, and his defending skills were much better. That the sort of defending as the ball crossed, the chance, one of the chances that they had that he cleared, that clearance was fantastic. So, yeah, we can wrap up. Okay, that's the end of the show. Thank you so much for listening. If you are tuning in on Saturday to Newport versus Plymouth Argyle via Radio Devon, you will have the joys of listening to myself as a summariser for Radio Devon this week. So if you are listening, I look forward to speaking to you then. Don't forget to subscribe. I'll redo that part, shall I? Don't forget to subscribe on Spotify and iTunes for all of our weekly podcasts. From all of us here, thank you and good night.
Goodbye.
Good night.
paydays are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.